May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Today I actually anticipated what Bracken was going to read. This is a section of scripture that I've taught a lot on over the years, over the decades actually now, and even over the last couple years. And so there'll be some things I'll say that are familiar, but I think it's so relevant. It's kind of like one of those words I have to personally go back and rehearse again and again. It's here again and again because it's relevant to present tense things that I might be going through. When he says in chapter 4, verse 1, you know, there are two accounts of the temptations. One in Matthew chapter 4, here in Luke chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, and this is the grammar, Jesus being continually filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led about in the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days while being tempted by the devil. Then it goes on, he talks about the temptations. Now, the Matthew passage, the Luke passage references it, but doesn't tell the story. The Luke passage literally is, and he was tossed into the wilderness. The Matthew passage says, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted, very intentional, by the devil. Here he said that he was led about in the Spirit while in the wilderness being tempted. When we go through things, especially intense things, it's because the word temptation is the word for trial, the word for testing, the word for tribulation. It's the same Greek word. It's easy for us to think, maybe I got something wrong. For those of us who are charismatics, we kind of fall into, then we get into trouble and fall into Christian superstition and religious stuff. Maybe I'm not making the right confession, the right decrees, the right declarations, and somehow that's why the enemy can sneak in and do what he's doing. But the key issue is at the bottom of the story in Luke chapter 4, where it says the enemy departed from him until an opportune time. If you go on and you read the section after Bracken stopped, it says in verse 14, and Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the surrounding districts. He began teaching in the synagogues and was praised by all. Now, when he came out of this place, that he began to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a chronology in the last part of chapter 3, but just before that chronology was what we talked about yesterday, where John said that he came to baptize with water, but Jesus was going to come baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. And then it gives the description of Jesus' baptism in the Spirit as the Son of Man. And the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove and remained on him. He wasn't just filled with the Spirit. He was continually filled with the Spirit. That's the whole point of baptism in the Spirit. It's not so you can point back at the day and go, oh my gosh, I got baptized in the Spirit, and I can, no, it's about staying filled. It's just the initial event that's supposed to result in a perpetual experience. And then the Father says, behold, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. For those of you who were yesterday, the baptism of fire that he's talking about there is the love of God. That unquenchable fire that burns away the chaff. And it's modeled in Jesus when the Father baptized him in the Spirit and then declared over him, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And at that point, he's prepared for this opportune time, for this extreme testing. Because again, the way the grammar is written, he wasn't just tempted at the end with those four temptations. Those were the four final fireworks thing, the grand finale. The language is he was being tempted every day for 40 days. Now, Jesus is not in a spiritually weakened condition. He's fasting. That's not a spiritually weakened condition. That's a spiritually strong condition. And Jesus went into the wilderness to pick a fight. He was the one in the offensive. He was thrown out into the wilderness, led about to be tested. The opportune time, I know that there are those times in our lives when we seem real vulnerable, the enemy will attack. I understand that. But in light of what it says here, that when the temptation's over, Jesus goes forth in the power of the Spirit. Doesn't say that happened right after he was baptized in the Spirit, but it says after baptism in the Spirit and when he took it out for a spin in the midst of extreme battle. Then he came forth in power. I believe this was an opportune time in the Lord. We've said this before, so if you've heard this, bear with me, but apply it to what you might be going through. Whether it's just warfare in your heart, junk that's going on, because you still have a law of sin that lives in your members, or issues in your life, situations and circumstances. Jesus was now, he'd been stuffed with all that's necessary to move forth and just do havoc against the enemy in power. He was, in that sense, he was, God had done this thing through his baptism in the Spirit. He knew he was beloved. He had heard the words from heaven. And so when he went into the battle, there was no issue about I'm going through this because I've done something wrong. God, somehow, I'm not pleasing to him. Can that happen? Yeah. But why is that the first thing we go to? Because that's the enemy. It's the fruit-bearing branches that get pruned. And so Jesus was equipped. He goes into battle. He comes out of the battle with the equipment now being manifested. If you're going through a really difficult time, it's because you've been asking the Lord for breakthrough in some area of your life. And God's already put in you the necessary equipment to experience that breakthrough. And the Lord uses the battle for the breakthrough to begin to manifest. Remember, Matthew 4 says, the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Is God the author of temptation? Nope, but God picked the fight. Whenever you're going through some intense battle, one, don't believe the enemy's lie and say, make the declaration, I just can't take this anymore. You wouldn't be in the battle if you weren't already equipped with what's necessary. Two, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because it's an opportune time and the enemy's throwing the kitchen sink at you. And he's doing everything he can to stop you from taking new territory. But it's the very battle itself that causes you to draw on that which you've been equipped with that now releases what's necessary to take the next ground. Because what the Lord wants to see happen is for you to break through into a place from which you'll never retreat, and the enemy will suffer defeat from which he will never recover. That's the whole point of the exercise. And if you understand that, and let's just give an example. Like, maybe you're going through a place of deep offense. Somebody just offended you again, probably the same person. They didn't say it or did say it or whatever, and you're just offended. You find yourself having those, those multiple conversations, like you're talking to the other you and the other you's winning on the inside. And so you're going through all that, and it's that person hadn't done that, said that, yada, yada, yada. But the whole deal is, did God want that person to offend you? I mean, they may not have been in sin and offended you. It's maybe your brokenness. But even if they did, God's wanting to set you free. You've been asking him to set you free from taking up offenses. You've been asking him to set you free from being critical and judgmental. Guess what? The enemy's given you an opportune time. And if he's allowing you to go through this battle, you are equipped in Christ to win this victory. And if you do, you'll take ground in victory in that arena that you'll never retreat from. And the enemy will suffer defeat in your life, an area from which he'll never recover. But if all you do is walk around griping and complaining on the inside until it's not so painful and not so acute, that's not victory. That's not getting better. We're not called to get better. We're called to walk in freedom. There's a difference. When Jesus wins a victory, it's a crushing victory, not a barely a victory. You can't be happy with, well, I don't yell at her as much as I used to. I don't yell at him as much as I used to. I don't get angry or frustrated as much as I used to. That's not victory. That's what lost people do. You might as well throw your Bible away and count to 10 and hope you get better every time it happens to you. What if they never change? That's not the issue. God wants you to know such a crushing victory that it'll be irrelevant whether they change or not. He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, not that they might have life and have it more abundantly so that you'll have life and life more abundantly. It's not dependent on what they did. It's all dependent on what he did and who he is in you. Okay, time to stop, right? The Lord cause your word to go forth, bring forth a hundredfold harvest in Jesus' name. Amen.